Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Mother Far From Home podcast with me, your host, Rachel Norman. If you desperately need a common sense, down-to-earth perspective on how to mother well without losing it, living in constant stress, or needing to escape your life, you have come to the right place. Hey, Mama. I am so excited to talk about this topic. It is something that came up months ago that our psychologist told me, and I'll get into that story in a second. And then it hit me again this morning. So this is a fresh and timely topic, I guess. It hit me this morning because I was feeling frustrated again over something that I've just been so frustrated about for a long time. And then I realized, wait a second. So what we're going to talk about is when there's a behavior that's going on that isn't good, that's against our boundaries, that's against the house rules that we know needs to change. And I'm not talking about little something that's not important. I mean, you know, an ongoing type of issue. Who is the frustration resting on? Who should it be resting on? And so to get to my thesis here, the frustration needs to be resting on the person whose behavior needs to change. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. And I'm going to try to keep these episodes as short as I can just so that we can, you know, listen in the cracks. So let us dive in. The fact of the matter is, family routines make the home go round, and they aren't just for the kids. I'm a certified baby and toddler sleep consultant, language of listening parent coach, and mother of five kids at one point in 5 years and under. If there's one thing that's true, it's this. Without daily routines and systems in place, life is chaotic, stressful, and anxiety-inducing. The only way to get our mom responsibilities done in peace is this: family routines. Simple family rhythms give you predictability, organization, and calm. My best-selling workshop, Family Routines Reboot, is a 3-day challenge to creating easy, effective family routines that make family life peaceful again. It focuses on the whole family routines, child routines, and self-care routines. Visit amotherfarfromhome/reboot for more details. Again, it's amotherfarfromhome/reboot. So here's where I first heard this. One of my sons has ADHD. And from about the age of 4, I knew that was probably the case. None of the normal tricks worked. In fact, all the normal tricks did the opposite of work, and all the things that intuitively you think you should do not work. And it was a hot mess. I'm going to be honest. It was a total hot mess. I did lots of stuff. I did lots of interventions at home. A lot of stuff. And finally, it got to the point where I thought, you know what? This went on, you know, it was every day wasn't bad. You know, we went up and down and we had periods of good and then periods of crazy. And then, you know, he seemed a little bit too young, I thought, to get tested. And finally, then I realized we needed to, and there was a long wait to get tested. And I said, okay, we're going to have to do something different. So we took him in for his assessment. He'd always done fine at school, done fine at preschool. It was just at home that he had these behaviors. So he was diagnosed with mild ADHD and mild ODD. And probably mild anxiety. Mild because he only displayed these behaviors mainly at home, but held it together at school and socially. And so this is what the psychologist said to me. He said, when a situation is happening and he's doing something that he does not need to be doing and shouldn't be doing, and I don't want anybody to at me with all kinds of like, it's fine if your kid hits you and they're frustrated, whatever. Okay. Things that we know if he continued to do as an adult would be bad for him. The frustration, the doctor said, should always be on him. We should not be perpetually frustrated. He needs to feel frustrated because of his choices. And this fell on me like a brick because I thought what'd been happening up to this point is we were perpetually frustrated with him, but of course trying to maintain positive and we're gentle and we're smiling and it's fine. You're struggling. It's okay. You know, this whole shtick. So, but he was not feeling that. He was feeling frustrated, which would lead him up to these behaviors, but then he was not feeling frustrated. It was resting on us. So we started to make some changes to where, and this took equipping, this took learning, it took understanding. It's actually, and now of course these apply, when I say this, these apply whether or not you have a child who has some special needs like I do. And in fact, these apply to all my kids. They apply to all your kids. They even apply in marriage. They apply at work. This is just a general principle I want to talk about. It just got revealed to me because I had the extreme situation, as always happens, right? This is like somebody who's very ill and they go to extreme lengths to heal. And then they start to see how all of these different toxins or whatever were everywhere, were affecting them. And to you who'd never gone through this, seem like that person's all a bit like way, way crazy. But it's because they came from a situation that revealed it to them in the extreme. So don't feel this doesn't apply to you if your child does not have special needs. So we went from a journey of realizing, wait a second, we need to actually put this frustration on the child, because as Dr. Henry Cloud, who wrote the Boundaries book series, said, you know, somebody needs to be frustrated enough, or for the status quo to be difficult enough for them that they actually want to change. Otherwise, they're not going to. So this is where we're getting at. If our kids are doing something they don't need to be doing, we don't need to be the ones that are perpetually frustrated. We need to give the frustration back to them and let that spur them on to make different choices. Do you feel like your days go by in a blur and all those things you meant to get done never really get done? The good news is it isn't because you don't have enough self-discipline or because you're just lazy. It's because you need better routines. I created some daily routine brainstorm sheets with lots of examples for routines based on your kids' ages that you can get free on my website. Go to amotherfarfromhome.com/routine sheets. That's amotherfarfromhome.com/routine sheets, and grab these free printables. So what I don't mean by letting our child be frustrated, let's start there. I always feel like being here on the World Wide Web, you get a lot of opinions and criticisms, and that's fine. But I want to make sure I'm saying what I don't mean first, so that you don't feel agitated as you're listening to this because you're thinking I mean something I don't. So when I say letting our kids be frustrated, of course I don't mean not being emotionally supportive to them, right? Of course we're going to be emotionally supportive. Like, this is such a basic duh. I keep saying that, and I know it ages me to say duh because I feel like, whatever, the young kids don't say that now. But we have to be emotionally supportive. We need to be in tune with our kids' emotions, right? But I actually think we're very much too much in tune with our kids' emotion these days. We've swung from the pendulum to not caring what our kids feel and telling them to get on with it, to the opposite end where we're so driven by their emotions, we can't even make a basic good choice because we're scared they're going to get mad, right? It's like that they refuse dinner and then they just want some kind of snack that's, you know, like junk or whatever. And we're like, I don't want to tell them no because then they'll be hungry and they'll be so mad at me. When you literally went and spent an hour making a good dinner, they've refused to eat for no reason except it just like doesn't taste as good as, like, I don't know, you know, a candy bar or something. So I think we've swung too far. But that said, we need to be emotionally supportive. And we need to be there and recognizing and in tune with our kids. This is just a basic duh to me. So also what I don't mean by letting our kids be frustrated whenever they're the ones that need to change their behavior, I don't mean being harsh. I recorded a podcast, I'm sure it's probably out by now, but on the difference between being strict and being mean. And this is a must listen because we're real confused about this. We think being strict is being mean, but then we become super lenient and then we lose it and then we actually are mean, and it's all because we just felt like we couldn't just keep our boundary, right? So I don't mean being harsh. Whenever our frustration needs to lie on the person whose behavior needs to be changed, the person who's doing something that's not okay needs to feel the weight of it not being okay. And that doesn't mean you're harsh at all. You can do this being quite kind or even neutral. So I'm never going to advocate us being harsh. And I'm not advocating that. Bible verse comes to mind, talks about not creating frustration for your kids. And so what I mean by that is, of course, we don't want to create a home environment that's perpetually frustrating to our kids and making life super difficult for them in the sense that it's unnecessary, you know, or we don't want to kind of antagonize them or push them to their limit for no reason. Of course, we don't need to do that. And that's not what I'm suggesting here when I talk about letting this frustration happen. So the crux of what I'm getting at here is, when we have boundaries in the home, the boundaries should be, we don't need to have all that many even, but the boundaries should be make it so that the home is life-giving to everybody, so that moms win, dads win, whatever, adults win. and the kids win, and that they're good for everyone. And when somebody's doing something regularly that's not okay, and it's not good for the family, and it's not going to be good for them if they keep doing it, then the frustration needs to lie on them. And this is part of boundaries. Ever wondered what it means to have boundaries in parenting with your own children? Well, I lived a boundaryless life. It did not turn out well for me or the kids. And I realized that I, like you, and every other mom on earth, has limits. We have boundaries, whether we've realized it or not. And we need to honor them if we want to live peaceful lives. I like to joke that while my book is called If Mama Ain't Happy, the real goal here is not happiness. For most moms right now, that's pie in the sky. The real goal, sad as it is to say, is not being depressed and wanting to escape your own life. So if that's you, if that's where you're at, grab a copy of my new book, If Mama Ain't Happy, Why Minding Healthy Boundaries is Good for Your Whole Family. You can buy the book any places books are sold. Or if you want to get a free copy of my Limit Locator and Boundary Building Worksheets, Google A Mother Far From Home, If Mama Ain't Happy. Choose the first link there at the top. Okay, so what do I mean by letting your child feel the frustration that might drive them to change? So the first thing I mean here, and I'll try to give some examples as I go through, is to hold your reasonable boundaries and let them have their emotions. So for example, when you know you need to do something that's good, or you know you need to have your kids do something that's good, say a chore. Say you realize your child is always sort of not wanting to do chores, refusing, complaining if you ask them, and you know it's good for them to help out. But what you need to do is just require them to do this and then let them have their emotions. So what do I mean by letting them be frustrated? Well, the first thing I mean is that we don't have to rescue them. So we have become such excellent rescuers, us modern mothers. It's like, our kids never have to feel bad for doing bad. I mean, I see this all the time and it makes me absolutely nuts. I did a YouTube video on, you can look it up there, A Mother Far From Home, Have Positive or Parenting Gurus Made Us Lose Our Intuition. And it's like our kids literally do something totally not good and then they kind of get in trouble and then they kind of get self-pitiful and then we end up comforting them. It's like, this is no. So basically they did something wrong. Nothing happened. They felt guilt, just guilt from having done something wrong. And then we comforted them out of their guilt so they didn't have to feel bad. This is just really dumb. I don't know how else to say it. And I'm guilty. I'm not calling you dumb. Oh no. You know how I get all this stuff? Because I live it. I'm telling you, I live it. That's how I know all this. I have done this. And then I've walked out of a child's room and been like, what just happened? My child was being super selfish, walloped another child. The other child screamed and cried. This child got like all self-pitiful about it. And I ended up comforting this child that I know it's so difficult. What? No. So when we rescue our kids, what we're doing is we're taking their emotions from them. We're taking that frustration from them so they don't have to feel it. It's like if a child, forgets their backpack, once, whatever. And then they call and they want you to bring it. No, I'm not bringing it. Whatever happens is what you're going to have to deal with. I'm not going to be perpetually frustrated once every 2 weeks the whole school year because you won't get organized. You see what I'm saying? When we rescue them, they don't have to feel frustration. Or if they're feeling, say the rule is everybody, has to do a certain chore before movie night, or everybody's got to have their room clean or whatever, and they're stalling and they're stalling and they're refusing, and you go start the movie without them, and then they're all upset and they're throwing a fit because they're like, I'm missing it, and then rescuing in this case would be like pausing it to wait, whereas everybody else could get themselves together and do what they needed to do, and this child couldn't, and then they became overcome in their emotions, right? We know that this happens, but actually the key to learning to handle our emotions is having them, not having them taken away from us, and us learning how to process through that. So you might be there with them as they're frustrated and like, yes, it's super frustrating and talking through this with them, whatever, but you don't rescue them because then they don't learn. None of us. We don't learn how to handle our emotions if they're constantly taken from us. So when mothers become perpetual rescuers, our children do not learn how to feel discomfort. They don't learn how to feel guilt. And I mean, society has gone way off the rails to me about this guilt and shame, because we are actually made to feel bad for doing something that goes against our values. We're made to feel bad for doing something that hurts others. We're made to feel bad when we become selfish or self-centered. And if we create this whole societal move against feeling bad when we do things that aren't good, I literally don't even have a clue where we're going to end up as a society. I feel like I went off on a tangent. But on a micro level at our home, if our child does something that's not good, they just need to, and they feel bad, then that's just it. They're going to feel bad until they use that to help them learn to make better choices. So being frustrated helps us make changes. So the first thing that I mean when I say we need to like let our child feel frustrated is we don't need to rescue them. Ever feel worried you aren't as connected with your child as you'd like to be? I have an easy tool to help you feel that connection, the connection that is already there, of course. I've put together 50 plus fun and interesting questions to ask your kids. They'll get you laughing and you'll learn a lot of interesting things about your child and maybe even about yourself. Go to amotherfarfromhome.com/connect to get your free printable. That's 50 plus connection questions that you can use in just times of bonding, one-on-one times, even times in the car. So again, you can get it at amotherfarfromhome.com/connect. So next, we need to watch for patterns that make us continually frustrated while the other person doesn't care. So one thing that for us is in the morning is I want all the kids to, you know, more or less make their bed, have the room tidy-ish enough. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I'm noticing there's a kid or two that literally will never do it. They just won't do it. And so I was going in there this morning and I was so frustrated. I was just like, this child never, I mean, like, and it was just a total bomb explosion in the room. I mean, just, you know, and this particular child will procrastinate. You know, this is just some normal human struggles, right? Lots of procrastination, lots of playing instead of getting ready. And then you didn't give me enough time to eat. You know, I didn't have enough time, you know, when they're clearly the room is evidence they've been playing. So then I sat and thought, okay, well, I need to transfer this frustration to them because I don't need to feel frustrated about this all the time, right? So then this is now, what are ways that the frustration can be transferred to them? Well, obviously when they get home from school, the first thing they're doing is cleaning up, you know, and then it might need to be there might need to be a built-in type of rule that we have. If you, those who keep their room the way it's supposed to be all week, get something, or everybody who doesn't, I don't know, you know, some I'm going to think through and explore these patterns. But what I know is that I don't need to be the one every single day that's frustrated about this, because the child, children, whoever, aren't going to change if they don't feel anything about it. You know, it's like, clean your room. Why? Nothing happens. And some will. The thing is, some children will, and some do. Some children just like skip along and do what you say. And those are usually not the ones that need to feel frustrated anyway, because they just sort of, you give them a look and they do it, you know? So we're talking about kind of when behaviors have set in that last a long time, right? The frustration needs to be put on not us, but on them. Now, one way, if we're feeling frustrated, that is a sign we can change. So for example, I was feeling all that frustration, which meant, okay, I need to change the way that this is all happening so that the frustration gets put on them, you know? So I need to make a change so that it gets put on them. So, and what else I mean by letting our child or whoever it is in our life, maybe it's a boss, you know, maybe your boss is, asking you to do things over and above, you know, or outside of work time. And an example of letting them feel frustrated would be, I can't do that outside of work time. I'm going to have, or my workload is too full based on the other stuff I have. So I'm going to have to pass that on to someone else, or I'm not going to be able to get to that to next week. Or actually, I can't do that on the weekend because that's my time off. So it's putting that frustration back on the boss, who then is going to have to figure out how to get things done in a way that makes sense, right? I had a friend once, and she would, anytime something came up that needed to be done, it was like she would just add it and add it and add it and add it to her plate until, and then she was like, they need to hire somebody else. And I remember saying, why? You do literally everything. And then she was like, I was like, they ain't going to hire anybody until you start saying, I can't do that. It's too much. And then she did that. And then they hired somebody. So you got to hold your own boundary. And when you do that, it can create an impetus for others to change. Or so, for example, if this is somebody who's always insulting you or speaking harshly to you, and your boundary is just, I'm not going to talk to that person. If this starts going this direction, I'm not talking to them. And this might mean you stop texting, you hang the phone up, you walk away from them or whatever. So the other person's going to be frustrated because you're no longer there to take their beating. And then they're either going to stop doing that, or they're going to leave you alone. So they're going to feel the frustration, and that's going to lead them to make a change, right? So what else? I mean, I kind of alluded to this earlier by letting the other person or the child or whoever feel that frustration. Is that means that we adjust what we're doing to make sure that the frustration goes to them. So we want to make sure that we're putting the emphasis to change on them. So if we're going to talk, let's another example that is, you know, plagues all parents, I guess, would be, well, not all parents. We don't, doesn't plague us because we don't have any screens, but you know, screen time. We will at some point, of course. And so, but for the kids, I mean, obviously I work on a screen, I have a screen, but there's a lot of power battles and a lot of struggles that happen regarding screen time. Okay. So there's a lot of power battles and struggles that happen with regards to screen time. This might be a child is using the iPad and they're playing, or and they can't handle this privilege, you know? And when I say that, I mean, they're either trying to use it more than is good. They're fighting you to put it down. They're fighting whoever else to use it. So you feel very frustrated because every time you want to tell them to turn it off, there's a big battle. So we're going to use this frustration. We're going to say, okay, how can I organize this within my home in a way that's a win-win for us both, but that's clear and doesn't result in me always having to fight them to turn it off? Well, one of them could be I can make a rule that is when I say it's done, if you fight, you don't get it the next time or for a week or whatever, I take it away. Another could be if it's an older child, it's, you know, it's not a time limit. Actually, I always suggest time limits, and I suggest you doing it at the router level if possible. Say they're playing a game and they won't, you know, and you're wanting them, you're seeing that they're using it too much and you're wanting them to pull back. And then they're like, no, and they fight you, get new arguments. It can be, if you fight me on this, I take it, right? And so this is the setup that you make. So this makes the frustration be on them because this frustration for them to keep going, to keep wanting it, but then having to say, I need to comply with these healthy boundaries. Then now the ball is in their court, right? You're not feeling that frustrated because you know, if they don't do what I say, I'm taking it. If they can't do the reasonable time limit, if they can't, after I give them an hour, just calmly hand it to me when I ask, they're getting it taken away. And then when it's taken away, I'm feeling fine because I'm not having to deal with any of that. So for them, the frustration of doing what they need to be doing and realizing they might lose that privilege, it's all on their shoulders. And then they can use that frustration to make choices that make sense. I hope this topic has made a little bit of sense to you. It was a concept that really felt like a light bulb to me when I had it. And I hope that it makes sense for you and it can be something that you just try to absorb and then use it as you follow your own intuition and your own parenting journey. As always, thank you so much for listening. As always, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. You can find me on my website, A Mother Far From Home, and on YouTube under the same name. If you like this podcast, I'd love it if you could write a 5-star review, and it'll help all the algorithms to get it in front of other moms who benefit from this encouragement. Until next time, keep it real out there, mama.